From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
Our text for this morning comes from the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Anything is better than the dead calm of indifference. Our souls may wisely desire the north wind of trouble, if that alone can be sanctified to the drawing forth of the perfume of our graces. So long as it cannot be said, the Lord was not in the wind, we will not shrink from the most wintry blast that ever blew upon plants of grace. Did not the spouse in this verse humbly submit herself to the reproofs of her beloved, only entreating him to send forth his grace in some form, and making no stipulation as to the peculiar manner in which it should come? Did she not, like ourselves, become so utterly weary of deadness and unholy calm that she sighed for any visitation which would brace her to action? Yet she desires the warm south wind of comfort too, the smiles of divine love, the joy of the Redeemer's presence. These are often mightily effectual to arouse our sluggish life. She desires either one or the other, or both, so that she may but be able to delight her beloved with the spices of her garden. She cannot endure to be unprofitable, nor can we. How cheering a thought that Jesus can find comfort in our poor, feeble graces. Can it be? It seems far too good to be true. Well may we court trial or even death itself, if we shall thereby be aided to make glad Emmanuel's heart. Oh, that our heart were crushed to atoms, if only by such bruising our sweet Lord Jesus could be glorified. Graces unexercised are as sweet perfumes slumbering in the cups of the flowers. The wisdom of the great husbandman overrules diverse and opposite causes to produce the one desired result, and makes both affliction and consolation draw forth the grateful odors of faith, love, patience, hope, resignation, joy, and the other fair flowers of the garden. May we know by sweet experience what this means.
Far above the noise of
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to be born a man? Why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And what's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such questions. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. But we're also pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 20th century Christian. You may have a copy of the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues a series of studies of the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now he's dealing with Andrew. Although scripture references to Andrew are relatively few, there is enough to reveal a man who was saved. Apparently, Andrew had been following the ministry of John the Baptist And he heard John exclaim, "Behold, the Lamb of God!" Leaving all else behind, Andrew gave his heart and life to Christ. From then on, Andrew lived to see others saved, and the first person he brought to Christ was his own brother, Peter. The gospel records relate that it was Andrew who brought to Christ the little lad with the 5 loaves and 2 fish with which the Savior fed the multitudes. Later, we see him bringing Greeks to the Lord. The greatest thing that could be said of Andrew, or of anyone, is that he brought others to Christ. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the conclusion of a message called Andrew, Saint and Soul Winner.
When I was exercised of the Lord to come to this country, it was one thing that was looming very largely in my mind. And in the years that followed my coming to America, it continued to loom very large. Lord, I'm here trying to win other people's brothers and sisters to Christ. But who is reaching mine? That's something I had to recognize as a problem. And the Lord had to give some peace of heart. Because while it's wonderful to go where the Lord would have you go, remember the old saying, charity begins at home. No. True religion begins at home. I say that simply to tell you that even when you're far from your family, you can't give up the burden of your loved ones. You can't do it. He first finds his own brother. If I have to stand over the grave of a brother or a sister of mine and see their body go into Mother Earth with the awful realization that their soul has already sunk into hell, what a tragedy. What a heartbreak. He found his brother, and he brought him to Jesus. You and I can lose our brothers, and we can lose our sisters, because we disagree with them politically, or because we like different things, or because we have a different philosophy, or all these crazy things that the devil will bring in. Men and women, let's concentrate on being Christians to them, loving our brethren and sisters after the flesh, loving them with the love of Christ. I'm telling them the certainty of what we know. I have found the Savior. Come and find him too. He brought his brother to Christ. And then he brought a little boy to Christ. John 6, verses 8 and 9. Now, what Andrew did seemed stupid. There were 5,000 there to be fed. Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be sufficient. Andrew finds a little boy with just his own personal lunch packet. When you read loaves, you mustn't think of these long things with umpteen slices in them. You think of little tiny biscuit-sized things. Just a little boy's personal lunch package. And Andrew brings him to Jesus. And he has to admit, what are these among so many? But this is not the voice of Philip. This is the voice of Andrew. This is not Philip's total unbelief. This is Andrew's hopefulness. Lord, I brought a boy to you. It seems unpromising. He has little or nothing. But Lord, you can take him and you can use him. And the Lord did it. He brought a boy to Jesus. Not only should you bring your brothers and your sisters to Christ, You should bring your children to Christ. Bring them when they are children. Don't pressurize them to make decisions. Don't force them. But don't be afraid to bring them to Christ. And one of the great needs today is for God's people to get beyond making children statistics in Sunday school and really try to bring them to Christ. The great need. Children's evangelism. One of the most difficult forms of evangelism. Unfortunately, often one of the most misused areas in evangelism. Seems so easy to generate decisions when you're working among children, and it makes the statistics look very good, and it makes the evangelist look very good. But man, we have got to get away beyond that and pour ourselves, pour our hearts, our energy, the love of Christ within us into the real work of bringing those boys and girls to Jesus. And what the Lord can do when a little boy is brought to Christ. Many years ago, a missionary was home in Firlow in England. And he sat in the house of a Congregationalist minister in Colchester. And he found a little boy there with whom he held deep conversation. He set that boy upon his knee. And he said, "I believe that God is going to make this boy a preacher. And one day he will preach in the chapel of Rowland Hill," was one of England's great preachers. And he turned to the little boy and he gave him a shilling. And he said, "Son, when you stand in Rowland Hill's pulpit, I want you to announce the hymn and have the congregation sing, 'God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform.'" That little boy reached his mid-teens, and on his way to church was stopped by a snowstorm, turned aside to a little primitive Methodist chapel, heard a preacher who was almost illiterate, but he could say, "Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth." And fastening his eyes upon the teenage boy, "Young man, look." C.H. Spurgeon said, "I looked until I could look my eyes away." And that day, that little boy was brought to Christ. How many tens of thousands have been brought to Christ through the one who was just a boy, but was brought to Jesus? Back in England again, an old minister went out to a churchyard. He was broken in heart. He was broken in spirit. The tears were in his eyes. His heart was heavy. He had just been told that he was too old to continue his ministry and that the church needed a younger man. On the scrap heap, discarded and disconsolate, he sat there moping. They saw a little boy come by. He'd always had a love for kids, and so he called this little fellow to himself. And he began to tell him of Jesus. The old preacher was not long for this world. He was gone. But had he lived, he would have seen something that would have thrilled his soul. And I think would have thrilled his soul in heaven anyway. That little boy was brought to Jesus. He became a lay preacher. His trade was the trade of a cobbler, but his work was the work of a missionary. and William Carey became the father of the modern missionary movement. Why? Because a preacher had time to bring a boy to Jesus. Andrew brought his brother. Andrew brought a boy to Jesus. And then, in John 12, we find he brought the Greeks. Now, these were not Jews living in Greece. These were actual Greeks. They were Gentiles. And he brought them to Jesus. We would see Jesus. That's the cry of the world. What the world is looking for tonight is spiritual reality. The cry from around this world is not for your little doctrinal shibboleth or mine. The cry is not for some theological mess of pottage that satisfies the appetite of this denomination or the other denomination, but that leaves the world hungry for the reality. The cry of the world is, let us see Jesus. Let us see Jesus. Andrew was in a position to bring the Greeks to Christ. I wonder tonight, are you seeing? And are you living to bring others to know the Savior too? The greatest thing that can ever be said about you, summing up your usefulness in life, is that you pointed others to Christ. Andrew went on through life. And as I think I have indicated from the histories of the early church, Andrew continued wherever he went, even till his dying breath, he continued pointing men to Christ. You remember when Jesus called him, he said, Andrew, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And he did it. That's what the Lord's calling you and me to do. And you know, if Samuel Rutherford was right, that my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land if one soul from my parish of Anwath meets me at God's right hand. If Samuel Rutherford was right there, what must heaven be like for an Andrew? Heaven is heaven. There's no shade in heaven. There's no sorrow in heaven. There's no imperfection in heaven. There's no half heaven. It's all heaven. But oh, what a joy it must be to see your brother there because you brought him to Jesus. What a joy to see your children there because you brought them to Jesus. What a joy to see those little boys and girls that you went out to reach with the gospel in heaven because you brought them to Jesus. What a joy to look around you in glory and see those Gentiles far off from God, but you brought them to Jesus. May God make us saints and soul winners, men who are saved, and then, having been saved, who live to make Christ known to a dying world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. Let it take deep root in our souls. And, O Lord, produce fruit. Remember those who need to be saved. O Lord, we pray that tonight they'll look to the Lamb of God. We can't save them. Only Christ can do that. Lord, save them. We bring them to Thee in prayer. We bring them to Thee in person. Lord, save them tonight, we pray. And, O Lord, we pray tonight that Thou wilt take a dealing with those of us who name Thy name. Lord, get us to be serious about the matter of making Christ known of going and telling men, we have found the Christ. Oh, God, we pray that you'll give us grace to be good witnesses of Jesus Christ. Crown the witness with much grace and with much success. Lord, grant that we'll see our boys and girls saved. Grant, O Lord, that we'll see those who are far off from God saved. Grant that our witness will be owned and blessed of the Lord. So hear our prayer and give us an abundant answer. Part us with thy blessing, keep us in thy fear, which is the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. Lord, be our abiding portion both this Sabbath evening and until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.